on today's episode of Talkin' Tom, Tom Hanks has booked a one-way ticket directly to my heart with The Terminal.
The Terminal is a 2004 comedy-drama film directed by Steven Spielberg and is the third collaboration between Spielberg and Hanks.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates.
What's up, Hanks heads? Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Tom, the Pod Hanks Tomcast, where we watch Tom Hanks movies and then we talk about them. My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
I don't know why it's like I do that a lot, I feel, but this felt weird.
I'm still just trying to figure out the name of this country.
Oh, yeah. Krakosia. This made-up country that we're going to be talking about.
Yes. We just watched the movie, but for some reason I can't get that in my mind.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it because it sounds like Kazakhstan from Borat. And
yeah.
What that says about us, I do not know.
Well, today we watched a movie called The Terminal.
Important detail, yes.
Yeah, but before we talk about that, mm-hmm. we got to just hang out, you know?
Yes.
Because that's what people listen for.
People crave our personal life.
Yeah, so what's been going on? You've been busy.
Yeah, I just work.
Yeah.
I can't ever talk about it, though. It's all like...
Right.
Which makes it sound way cooler than it is.
Right, you're working on that new Star Wars movie.
Oh, man. A buddy of mine used to joke, and we would guess about stuff about new Star Wars things, and I would get something right, and he'd be like, when are you going to finally come home and tell us, like, I've been doing this? And I was like, do you think I'll be living here when I do? Like, do you think I would live in the same?
Yeah.
Someday. That'll be a really good thing to pull. I'll do it live. I'll do it on the podcast.
Oh, great.
We'll get I won't tell exclusive. Anyone, and then be like, guess what?
That would be good for us.
And then, yeah.
Well, I have been doing the opposite of that. I don't have another job starting until later, about a month from now.
That's pretty cool, though.
It is.
It could be.
This is very rare for me. I'm normally just drowning in work, so.
Do you prefer to be working, or do you like some
you time? Yeah, because I don't have to be alone with myself. It's haunting.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had, like, proper freelance stuff where I've had tidbits of time in between.
Yeah. I mean, it's all working out. I'm going to the dentist and like getting my taxes done. So
like proper use of time, but not like fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, another really great thing I did with my time was one night I stayed up until 4 a.m. watching all of the 50 Shades of Grey movies.
How many are there? There's three?
There's three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which one was the best one?
The second one, I think.
Okay.
They're all bad. I'm not like, they're not good.
Yeah, but like,
movies.
I think everyone knows that. Like, going into it, like, but they're like fun, I assume.
Yeah,
that's why
some
they keep
pretty
getting
tragic
seen.
Dialogue.
Yeah.
And then today,
a good old time.
And last night, I watched all the Twilight movies.
Okay. So you're having like a potential quarter life crisis.
Yeah, but I still haven't seen The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, but you know, you do your comfort food little moments and then you dive into something like that, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
that's pretty great.
Yeah.
And he cooked a cool looking peach pie.
Oh, yeah. And I was going to bring one to you, but you never answered my DM.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
I check. Yeah, you know how it goes.
Well, here's the thing.
Excuse.
If anybody DMs me and is like, hey, I want a pie, I literally will be like, cool, what kind?
How do I get this pie?
I will bring
to
it to you now.
Yeah. That's like a really great perk to have in a friendship.
Yeah. You know.
Well, that's such a really dangerous one now that I think about it for like health.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I don't know.
Well,
speaking of pie,
yeah,
today we watched The Terminal.
Oh my God, the tastiest movie.
There's no pie in it, but there is food issues.
Issues. Have you seen this movie?
I genuinely am not 100% sure.
Oh.
I think I have, because I recognize so many moments of it. But if I have, it was like when it came out.
Okay.
But I don't have like a vivid memory of seeing it. So it felt fresh watching it today.
Wow, that's fun.
It's kind of nice.
I have seen it a few times. Most recently, I remember, like, if I can just, like, paint a picture for you, and maybe this will help people understand why I'm such a weird Tom Hanks freak, is that when I was in college, after I'd gotten out of this relationship, I took it really hard. I was working at this dorm during the summer. And I was the front desk person, and all I did all day was sit at a front desk, literally for like 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
And nobody was there because it was summertime, and they had a million movies, and they had a ton of Tom Hanks movies. So I watched Castaway, Forrest Gump, and one that I remember specifically watching was The Terminal.
So you could watch stuff while you were working?
Oh, yeah. Like, truly, there was nothing for me to
Dream
do.
Dream job.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Well, what kind of system were you watching it on? Like computer?
Oh, like a Dell.
Okay.
Yeah, like my old desktop or laptop from college.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember watching it then during the dead of summer in Eastern
okay.
Washington.
Okay. Is that sort of the spark that ignited the fandom?
I think that was when I started to realize, like, oh, I, like, love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Like, I've seen so many of his movies, and every single one I just, they make me feel safe. And yeah. At that time, I didn't, so.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That I really like that swing on the story. That sounds like the nicest thing you could tell him in person.
Oh, God, someday.
Let's be really overwhelmed. Nice to meet you. You make me feel really safe.
Yeah.
And like, it's a really good thing, but there's like a way you have to say it.
Yeah.
That's like sort of beautiful, though.
Oh.
What a nice way to start an episode.
Yeah. So tell us what the movie's about.
It's pretty simple. Well, sort of. It's pretty simple. Tom Hanks is a character named Victor Navorsky.
Yeah.
And he is from a fictional country called Krakosia. That sounds right.
Yeah.
And basically, he is traveling to the United States for the first time, into New York City specifically, to JFK. And when he gets there, he is not allowed into the country because his home country has started a civil war. And they say that he is stateless because his country is in a weird middle ground. So he's seized at customs and he's not allowed. But because his country doesn't exist, quote unquote, he can't go back. And he also is not allowed into the United States. So he is forced to stay in the terminal, hence the name The Terminal. And there's a lot of shenanigans in between that we'll get to.
Yeah, it's pretty convoluted and kind of
yeah, a little bit
requires that you suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
Which is something I kind of don't like to do. I'm sure I've bitched about it on the show before.
It's sort of, everything's so, like, airy and effortless in this that it kind of lets you.
Exactly.
Like, it's not, I think it has a lot to say subtextually, but it's sort of all really light on the surface, so you can kind of just enjoy your time in the terminal.
Well, because every question that you have, like, well, doesn't he get, like, qualify for asylum or doesn't he get a visa? It's
well,
all explained.
They say a few of those up front just to, like the basic words people would know. They're like, you can't get asylum. You're not allowed a visa. Just so, like, people that would, I assume, would try and nitpick it from the get-go are, like, sort of pushed down. But
Yeah. And, okay. So, he gets stranded in this airport. The main person that he's kind of, there's a lot of people that he works with, but the main point of contact is played by is a man named Frank Dixon, played by Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Have we talked about him on this show before?
I don't know. I don't think he's been in any other Hanks movies. Has he?
I don't know.
He deserves a moment of conversation, though.
Every time I see him in a movie, it's like my heart just like.
He elevates things.
Oh, he's so good. I mean, really, when we run out of Tom Hanks movies, we might have to do Talking Tucci.
Do you have a favorite thing he's done?
Oh, Easy A is so good.
I was actually going to go to that, too. He's, like, the best dad in Easy A.
And I just watched him in something else that wasn't The Terminal. Shoot. And The Hunger Games. That's not what I was talking about.
But. Oh, yeah, he's great in The Hunger Games, too.
He's just in everything. He's, like, the go-to guy, like, picture when I read books now.
He's sort of... To jump ahead slightly, if there's a criticism I have of the movie, it's in sort of the structure of how Frank is supposed to be the villain.
Yeah.
And he's like such a cartoony villain where he, you know, he's really good at his job and has to prove his worth. But his reasoning behind things and the way he sort of undermines Victor is very cartoony. But it's elevated because Stanley Tucci's so good at being... just great, I guess.
Yeah.
That somehow makes it like a winning performance instead of like a really lame one note character.
I agree. I really enjoy Stanley Tucci.
Talking Tucci.
Wow, we're clever. We're coming up with these. Okay.
Well, we also got what other characters do we have in this airport?
A million people. There's the janitor.
People. Yes, there's the janitor, there's the food service man, played by Diego Luna.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is weird. I don't...
What else is he in? That name is so familiar.
He's in Y Tu Mama Tambien, but most recently he was in Star Wars Rogue One.
Oh, I watched that with you, didn't I?
Yeah, so he was one of the leads in that.
Mm. Zoe Saldana?
Yeah, Zoe, who doesn't age.
No, looks, she's good, too.
She's really good in this. I really liked her in this. I didn't remember her being in it.
Oh, the janitor's name is Kumar Palana.
Kumar Palana.
I think that's, I'm sure.
And he plays Gupta.
Yeah.
And then there's Joe, who is the, he works in like baggage claim. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thurman.
Judge works, Thurman?
He's, is he a judge?
I think that's what his name is.
Oh, it is? My thing just says Thurman. He's the guy who like works with Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, he's like the, he seems to be kind of head of security.
Yeah, yeah. He's like the secondhand guy.
He's another one of those actors that I feel like I've seen and always enjoy, but could never like pick out what movie I've seen him. He sort of exists as a character actor across the board.
Yeah.
He's really good in this too.
And then Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
Who's the love interest.
Yes.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh.
It is interesting seeing Tom Hanks paired with someone like her.
Yeah.
Kind of like how I feel about Larry Crown when he's paired with Julia Roberts, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess.
It's funny because in the realm of Tom Hanks, I'm like, I believe it.
Totally, totally.
But in the realm of like movie making, if you're like trying to like cast people together, I'm like, there's interesting choice.
Yeah.
She's really good too, though.
Yeah.
She doesn't have as much to do. She kind of has a...
I think she gets an interesting kind of backstory.
Have you ever seen the movie Up in the Air? With George Clooney?
No, I've had it on my list for a million
years. It's really good. It's kind of, if her plot was an entire movie.
Okay.
It's kind of cool. So if you like that, it's really good.
Okay.
So
let's talk about how, I guess this movie, it's like the journey of Victor, right?
Yeah.
So he comes into this country speaking pretty much no English.
Yes.
And he's there for a very specific reason that we don't know.
Yeah, they keep mentioning he carries around a can of a Planters peanut can, but there's no peanuts in it, but we never are told what's in it.
Yeah, we just know it's like the one thing that he always is holding or keeping safe. Yeah, always in his bag.
And there's sort of an assumption, they kind of play with you where you assume it's a family member's ashes
that
he's bringing to America. And he has a very specific place. He's going to a hotel in New York City, and he has, like, he's written himself a note that's, like, just enough English to get him through the airport and in a taxi into that hotel.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how he begins his journey.
Something that I've been thinking, I'm going to Mexico for a job soon, and the last time that I traveled internationally, well, not the last time, but the last time that I kind of traveled for work where I went somewhere that I didn't know the language was Spanish. And it was the first time in my whole entire life where I had been somewhere that I didn't speak the language that everybody else spoke. And it was very humbling for me. Obviously, I'm like I come from a huge place of privilege. Like I can recognize that, but there's definitely nothing like experiencing that in your, like, truly in like,
firsthand.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like first, like I had never been unable to communicate with people before and it just gave me a brand new perspective.
Because you're put to task immediately. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And it's on you.
And I just felt like an idiot. Like, I went to their place. Like, I went somewhere that wasn't my home. And I was expecting I can't even speak English. I was expecting people to speak my language. I wasn't expecting them, but I was so quiet. Anyway.
Notice, I think the movie sort of gets into that right from the get-go. Like, this communication that we all take for granted.
Yeah, I really loved that scene.
Yeah.
I loved that these assholes, Stanley Tucci and his security guard, just keep telling him all this information, which is ultimately for our benefit.
Yeah.
But
they also just don't want to have to deal with him.
Yeah.
He's just another, like, cog in the system to them of, like, this is the issue, you're going to have to do this, blah, blah, blah. And they sort of just keep setting him up to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that begins with this knowing understanding of, you know, we should get a translator in here, but, you know, when are we going to find one? When are they going to get here? Like, we'll just kind of tell them and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's really unfair.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to watch.
And probably very, in my fear, accurate of sort of why I take these people who don't take the time to, you know, make sure things are done correctly, because it's a hassle.
Yeah.
So his first issue is the communication thing. Mm-hmm. But he takes, once he's kind of grounded and put into the airport, he takes right away to trying to figure out ways to communicate and also teaching himself how. He buys like a tourism book for New York in English and in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think that's the language he's speaking.
Yeah. Neither of us speak Russian in there. No subtitles.
Because he on the TVs, they're showing the news of his country, and there's the little like news ticker with all the text flying by, and he can't read it, so he wants to figure out how to read it. And there's a little uncertainty of like how much time he's spending in any given thing, because I think in the end we learn he's been there for like 9 months or something.
Yes, yeah. It is difficult to track, but that's also kind of the beauty. It's like a casino or something. Yeah. He's in this airport terminal. Time passage is like...
And just to back up for a second, also like kind of like a weird childhood dream type of thing.
Yeah.
Like stuck living in an airport.
Okay, that is something, this is like almost like another story. It's like Castaway, but just in an airport. Yeah. I love that, like figuring out how to survive. Like if I was stuck in a mall or I was stuck in the woods, like how would I take care of myself? It's interesting. He doesn't know the language. Daniel's doing some soda ASMR. Trying to open. What is that, Pellegrino?
Yeah.
I love it. I think that is so fun. The things where he kind of figures out how to use what's at his disposal, how he figures out how to use to return the carts and get quarters back, which I'm sure doesn't exist anymore.
At some grocery stores, like I think.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so then he buys himself all those hamburgers.
Like yeah, crap. And that's sort of where you see the initial thing of Stanley Tucci's character setting him up to fail, where they give him meal tickets, but through, you know, it's sort of this like slapstick moments of him trying to help people and failing and like losing the meal tickets and setting up this initial sort of rival in the janitor who hates him from the get-go, and he's, you know, trying to figure out how to get food. And there's this whole sort of like, I can't think of the word, like a Chekhov's gun type of thing, where there's the front doors of JFK, we can see them, and they want him to go out of there, because if he does, then he's arrested and it's no longer their problem.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, they can't really touch him. But they try and set him up by, you know, eventually he's going to run out of food. Eventually he's going to get tired of being in the airport, and they sort of keep hoping that he'll do that, and he doesn't.
Yeah. And he's kind of a man of character, where he will only do what he's told to the best of his ability, which is, I mean, pretty stupid, but also very admirable. It's like, and it works out for the best, I guess.
When it almost plays up this, it's almost like in today's climate, watching it now feels like this very upright citizen coming from another country, almost as a stand-in for like an immigration type of thing, where he's doing everything he can to follow the laws, sort of the order and expectation of where he's at. He's trying to like abide by their rules, even though it's probably really different from a cultural thing to him, which is kind of cool. He's trying to be a good person, A, to stay, but he's also not being held because he did something. It's completely out of his control, yet he still does everything he can to like be sort of, I don't know, a decent human.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about immigration, it would almost be like he's being a quote-unquote like good immigrant. Like he's following all the rules. But the thing that makes it so difficult to watch is that no matter how many times he follows the rules, he's still getting nowhere.
Yeah.
Like that's what's, and that is a lovely metaphor, I think, for the state of our country right now.
And this is 2004, so. Yeah.
So something, this isn't so much tied to immigration. I'm sure people can kind of extrapolate my thoughts on that. But something that I've always kind of grown up, this is just a personal anecdote. I've always grown up being like the rule follower. That's always been my source of comfort. I struggle with an anxiety disorder. I think I've spoken about that before on the show. And sometimes the only way that I can find comfort is by following the rules. And for a long time, I didn't realize that a lot of the rules that I was following were hurting me more So basically, I've been like a real kiss-ass, like stickler for the rules for a really long time, and I'm not so much anymore.
Good. Break free.
Yeah. Just like little thing. Like I was out I was out the other night and there was like a reserved section of the bar and all the other seats were taken and the person I was with was just like, let's just sit here. And I was like, but these seats are reserved. And then like they weren't, like nobody came to take them. And it was kind of just like, whatever, just sit here. I don't know. That was a stupid example.
Did you have a pretty strict upbringing then? Or was it just
okay. Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely tied to the way I was raised and probably the way that I, yes.
Okay. I feel the same. I was a rebel in the tiniest amount in secret.
That's crazy.
I just like couldn't, and I don't know if like my parents weren't inherently strict. I just never wanted confrontation, but then I've had a shift where now I actively, if I can, I don't want confrontation, but I love to
like kind of push.
Yeah, I like to like push to like I don't know. It seems I don't like the black and white anymore. I like the.
I love that. I'm not there yet.
It's I don't know. That's cool.
Man, you're such a badass.
Oh yeah, I'm doing cool stuff. Yes.
Oh my gosh,
Oklahoma boy.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
Not at all.
That's funny. I wonder how much of that is like. Just like in your blood, and how much is that is like you're just a product of your own?
I don't know.
Like nature versus nurture, right? Should we tackle that on the show?
You get really and do a special episode.
Yeah.
How do you tie Tom Hanks into that? It probably could actually.
Oh my god.
With the right essay format.
Oh.
We could pull it off.
20 minutes.
So, back in the terminal.
Right. Yeah.
We you know, we sort of spend the first little while watching Victor adjust to life there.
Struggle.
And then we meet some of the cast characters that we said before. So there's like the janitor, there's the food service worker, and there's the package. Or there's the luggage worker.
Yes.
Joe, Enrique, and Gupta.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Dolores, Zoe Saldana's character. Yeah. And they're sort of he sees them basically every single day because he does the same thing. Every day he goes to, I don't know Dolores' exact job, but
she's in charge of the visas.
Oh, okay. So he learns like what paperwork he has to fill out to try and get approved for a visa. And every day he's declined because nothing's changed in his home country. But he forms a relationship with Dolores. And in doing that, he discovers that Enrique, who runs the food service, is madly in love with Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
And so he makes a deal where he'll feed him if he will learn stuff about Dolores. Which, would that work on you if someone from afar was asking someone? It's like a really cute, like elementary school way to do it. Where you're like, well, can you ask so and so?
No, that would not work on me.
Yeah, but it's cute
because I'm too terrified of men. But it's cute in the movie, totally.
And actually, it does work. It's like a super, like a young adult novel, but somehow it works. I think that everyone's just so charming at it that it. That worked for me.
Well, because then you can kind of tell that they're meant to be. I mean, these things are only cute there's obviously like a certain specific set of circumstances. One of them being that they're both good looking people.
Yeah.
Who are looking to be in relationships, right? Like it's not like, yeah, it would be different if she didn't find him attractive later on. She'd be like, wow, this is so creepy.
And then we meet, Catherine Zeta-Jones' character. His name is Amelia.
Yes, she's a flight attendant.
And she's...
She's a mistress.
A mistress.
She's in love with a man who is married. And she's flying all over the country to kind of meet up with him at his convenience.
Yeah.
Weird, sad stuff, actually. But I mean, who am I to judge?
But she sort of admits that, too, later.
Yeah.
But she has a bad day, and Victor sort of steps in to help her. It's like I think she slips on a wet floor and breaks a heel, and he has a gift card to a shoe store for some reason.
Yeah.
And
his coupons. I think they're like things they pass out at the airport. He's really sweet.
Yeah. And it's like completely this just like him probably looking for anything to do, but also like that looking for that connection because he is completely alone.
Ugh, I know.
And they sort of start this slight romance through that.
Yeah. It's never like creepy or predatory.
No, it's just kind of kind of a cute little, sweet. Every time they happen to be together, they spend a little more time together.
Because she's looking to be with someone who respects her and values her as a human being, not just like someone to have sex with at the airport, I guess. I don't even really understand the relationship.
Yeah, I don't either. It's sort of a...
But she's been mistreated and she kind of like allows that also. And he...
Well, and she talks about that she's been doing this for like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
So she knows, like, she knows, like, nothing else in terms of relationships. I'm like, how do you do that when you work this way type of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. And so Victor's, like, smitten with her pretty much immediately, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting how the people that he's working with, the janitor, the food service guy.
Baggage claim.
All those people kind of, they've got their hand on the pulse of the airport, like the behind the scenes. Yeah.
I really like the dynamic of the three of them.
And it's almost them against Stanley Tucci,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Well, because they're sort of they're the working class folks, and mm-hmm. Stanley Tucci is this, like, power-hungry overlord to them.
Who's actively, like, up for a promotion.
Yeah.
That Tom Hanks's character, Victor, is only going to get in the way of.
Yeah.
So that adds, it's because at first you're like, why is he being so mean to this poor guy? Like, it just doesn't, and it still doesn't make sense, but...
Yeah.
It does, I guess, whatever.
And then, and for in continuing plot state, Victor needs money to continue, and he needs American money. So I think he fixes a wall in an empty park.
Yeah, he does, like, the cornice on I don't even know if that's the word.
But they're fixing chunks of the airport.
And handyman.
He's apparently, and I think he says that he's a contractor
where
he's from. Yeah. We basically slowly unravel things about him. But he's amazing at it, and... There's a great, again, like, slapstick type of dynamic where the construction companies don't want to... There's two construction companies working, and the two bosses don't want to admit that they don't know who someone is or what they're doing. So rather than investigate, they're like, oh, we're actually going to move you to our team. And they start paying him under the table to work.
Which is also very interesting. Kind of, like, shines a light on the way we... I don't know. Like, we expect people who come to our country... you and I, to come to our country and not take our jobs when we already make it impossible for them to do so to begin with because mm-hmm. they don't have things like what, like social security numbers. He doesn't have a permanent place of residence. He tries to get a job where he's doing it the right way.
Oh yeah, I left that out.
A long time.
And like every store in his terminal.
Yeah, and they're laughing in his face. Mm. This guy literally just wants to feed himself. That is the only thing he's trying to do. He's not trying to even go to America.
Yeah, well, he wants to take Amelia out.
And he wants to take her out for a $40 dinner or whatever it is. Yeah, I did forget about that. But it is kind of interesting that the work that nobody wants to do, I guess...
Sort of this under, he almost seems like he can't help himself when he sees it unfinished. Where he's like, I'm going to fix this.
But they pay him, and I think Stanley Tucci says, like, he ends up making more money than Stanley Tucci's making for this labor job. Interesting.
He does a great job at it, too. Very interesting. And so that's basically the crux of how he continues to live there, because he's working construction, making money, and making friends along the way.
Yeah, it's funny. Everything kind of turns on its head when?
Victor and Amelia see each other a few more times, and she agrees to go on a date. There's sort of a mutual agreement because they both sort of ask each other out.
She's been asking him out, yeah.
Yeah, but which is kind of a cool reversal.
I agree.
Where he sort of declines mostly because he's not, in his words, he's not lying. He's just sort of selective details.
Yeah.
Because I think he jokes, he's like, I live in Terminal 67 or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, right. So he's really not lying. But they agree to meet. And when that day comes, Stanley Tucci pulls Catherine Zeta-Jones, or Amelia, gotta remember to use the character's names, into the office to like talk about who Victor is and reveals the truth. And so she confronts him about it. And that's when we finally learn about the planter's peanut can.
Yeah, which is kind of, not kind of, it is very touching.
Yeah, not what I expected at all. Not what I remembered at all.
Okay, yeah. And so much
better than...
Someone who, like, you didn't really remember what the movie was like.
That was the thing I didn't remember. I was like, it must be it must be like his father passed, yeah, or it's his brother or sister or like his wife. I was like, maybe they'll go that way to fuel the romance type of thing. But it's a photo called A Great Day in Harlem, and it is it's 57 musicians, jazz musicians, and Victor's father was a jazz obsessive, and he in his lifetime was trying to collect autographs of all of those musicians. And the one he missed before he passed away was Benny Golson. And Benny Golson has a show in New York at this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And Victor is coming to New York to get that final autograph for his dad.
Just to kind of honor his legacy.
Yeah. For the most memory. Like selfless reason to travel. And then of course that story gets him a smooch. It's a great story. I'd smooch him too. If
it
someone
is.
Told me that story.
It's just so, like you said, it's so selfless. Like it's, yeah. And you're like, you're still here for that. Like,
yeah. Cause at that point we're at 9 months, somewhere around 9 months at that point.
He's living in an airport.
And it's interesting. Cause I think you could, even part of me watching it, like the cynical part was like, why don't you just tell him like, all I'm trying to do is this. Could like we reach out to this person?
Yeah. Can someone
do this? But it's like such a personal, and he doesn't want to like intrude on anyone else type of situation.
Yeah. I think, I'm jumping the gun here, but out of all the characters that we've seen Tom Hanks play, I would argue that this is one of the most compelling because of the actual like humanity of the character.
Yeah, it's so immediately, again, a tribute to Hanks, but it's so immediately, you attach yourself immediately.
Yeah.
They put him in situations where, I mean, we can't inherently relate, but in the news, like in our news, in our current world, we see the similar things type of happening, not to this dramatic, or actually more so in the news, but this, not to this type of thing, but it's so easy to admit, to connect and then to watch him like effortlessly move around the world, the terminal. And I don't even believe every second of it somehow.
Yeah. I kind of described it to my roommate. I was in the middle of watching the movie and I came downstairs to grab a drink of water. And I was like, I feel like my heart just keeps like folding in half as I'm watching it. Like it's every time he does something, it's like all I can feel is just like, I don't know. Like I just want to be smaller and smaller so I don't have to feel anything anymore.
Yeah.
Whoa.
When I had read an interview with Spielberg that after he did Capture If You Can, he really wanted to like do another, this movie's going to make you feel a lot of things type of movie.
Oh, good.
Which is why he chose this.
Yeah.
Well, then we're pretty much toward the end of the movie. They sort of at the end of the cycle, Amelia shows up with it's called a one-day emergency visa.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also learned that day that the war in Krakozia has ended.
Yes.
So she shows up with this emergency visa that'll get him into New York. And for, as I think it's like a family emergency type of thing. But he learns that to get that, she got that from another person, a government official she was having an affair with.
Yeah.
So that he learns that. And then in the same day, he learns that to use the visa, he has to get Dixon, Stanley Tucci's signature.
Yeah.
So this is like the third act because we don't have like it's kind of a strange structure. We don't get but that's sort of where we lead to.
Mm-hmm. And this was, I mean, maybe you can help me understand this. It did seem kind of like, why wouldn't Dixon just sign that paper? He was mad about the goat medicine thing that we didn't talk about.
Oh, yeah. We should round about to that because I think it's important to the character.
Totally.
But, yeah. Sorry.
But that's what he's upset about? He says something like, as long as I'm here, you're here.
Yeah. Because he basically is blaming Victor for
him not getting this promotion or something?
Yeah, or like,
did he
not
get the promotion?
I wasn't quite sure on that. Because he was changing offices at one point.
Yeah, it looked like he was like packing his stuff.
So I couldn't tell if he had been... Maybe he did get the promotion, but was sort of like under the scrutiny. I feel like we should know that. But I
know.
I
well, no, I think because you and I both missed it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But he won't do it. I think because he just uses an opportunity where that visa is good for him to go into America, but it's also like the ticket to go back.
Yeah.
And he's like, you have to go back, and then threatens all of the people he's met.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci gives him an ultimatum. Yeah. He says,
I know what you've been doing. I know what they've been doing for you, and that's technically against our rules. And so I could fire this person and this person, and I could deport this person because we learned the janitor has fled the country because he committed a violent crime.
Yeah, it's like life ruining stuff. Mm-hmm. If is brought to the surface, could like ruin the lives of like many people. Yeah. Because at this point, Joe and what's her name? Dolores?
Dolores.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know. That was cool.
Yeah, they're married at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, they're married at this point. It's like everything's finally okay.
Everyone's doing really good for themselves.
And we've learned all about them. Everyone's it's like friends. All this work has like been. Yeah. Yeah. And the choice is either protect your friendships or honor your dead dad's legacy.
Yeah. And to cut back before we reveal the end, you mentioned there was a thing about a goat.
Yeah.
There's a moment where a passenger returning to his home is trying to take a bunch of medicine back with him, which is for his dying father. Yeah. He's come to, I think he went to Canada, and this is a stopping point. Which again, like the healthcare system, talking about healthcare systems, not to get into political stuff.
Oh,
like,
let's do it.
This other person goes to Canada to get the healthcare stuff, then has to drop through America where they want to confiscate everything before he can go back.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't understand him. He speaks zero English. Right. And so they bring in Victor, who shouldn't do it because they've been having him in a holding cell at this point.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's like the one time where Stanley Tucci's character needs help.
Yeah.
It's like a total role reversal.
And the people, there's some type of committee that is like going over it. They're like reviewing him.
To see if he should have the promotion or not.
It's like a big moment.
Yeah, yeah. And Stanley Tucci, to touch on what we talked about earlier, he is a stickler for the rules. Yeah. And that is like the hill he wants to die on.
Yes.
If you don't have the paper, you can't do this thing.
And then Victor spins it as a lie and says, it's not for his dad, it's for a goat. And at first you're like, what is this play? At first I was like, what is he trying to do?
Yeah.
But then because he spent so much time filling out these forms, he has remembered that one of the forms states that medication for animals does not need to be signed for by, you know, a doctor or anything.
Mm.
So he's like, no, the guy said it's for his goat. And the guy says, yeah, it's for my goat. And then basically, Stanley Tucci definitely knows that it's not, that it's some type of game, but just like lets it happen.
And I think something that's kind of important is that in asking Victor for help, Victor says, like, you're going to let me go, basically. Like, you're going to give me the green stamp. You're going to let me have my visa.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll do anything. And then when he realizes that Victor's kind of pulled the wool over his eyes, I guess, goat wool, huh? Stanley Tucci's character is like, if you do this, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not giving you your visa. You're going to be here for as long as I'm here.
Yeah.
And, so I guess I just answered my own question. But so it's just an example of Tom Hanks' character is so selfless that he sees beyond the rules, beyond the these things set in place, the paper, the stamps, all that. And he's just like, there's a human back there.
Yeah.
With a story.
That seems to be, Stanley Tucci has forgotten any type of humanity for these people.
Yeah.
To them, they are paperwork being processed and things in his way, as you said. So then jumping back to the end, he threatens his friends. And of course, Victor refuses and says, I'll go home. Mm-hmm. I won't go to New York. I'll go home because I don't want my friends to have to suffer because of me. And as he's going back, he sees the people and he specifically sees Gupta, who, you know, sort of like gives him some pushback. Like, what are you doing? Like, this was your chance. He's like really upset with him.
Yeah.
But then Gupta learns the truth of why he's not going, not from Victor. And Gupta runs out onto the tarmac in front of a plane to get himself arrested and hold back the plane that Victor was going to get on.
Mm-hmm. One of the few times in the movie where we see someone else put their own needs.
Yeah. Where he is rewarded.
Yeah.
And then it happens again because Victor decides he's going to go. He's going to go out into the city.
Yeah.
He's going to get that signature. And the police are there to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Thurman who we spent time with, along with Stanley Tucci, Frank. I keep forgetting to call him Frank.
I know, me too.
But Thurman is there blocking him, and, you know, he's like, you can't go, and he's, you need to turn around. And when he does, Thurman puts his coat on. It's like, it's cold in New York in the winters, and then they part ways to let him through.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, Frank's obviously mad, but when Frank gets down to them and they rush outside, and right before that we see Victor and Amelia have their, like, kind of final moment where they don't end up together, but they sort of give each other that look of, like, sort of thanks.
Yeah, we were good for each other.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it's bittersweet because I think you see, like, some regret on her face.
Yeah.
And then Victor leaves the airport and he goes to that hotel. And he gets that last autograph.
Yeah. And then he goes home.
Yeah. I think the last words are, I am going home.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote down because I thought it was cute.
It's funny, too, because that taxi driver is like, cool, where's home? Yeah. Like, I'd love to take you there, sir.
And the taxi he gets in when he leaves the airport is a guy, I think, from Russia.
From the office. Why did I say that? Yeah. He's from, we're talking about two different taxi drivers, but yes, the first guy. He'd moved there like 3 days before.
Or yeah, he's crazy. Like, Victor tells him a really specific route to get to the hotel because he's, you know, read 1,000 maps at this point. And the taxi driver, he's like, well, how long have you been here? He's like, man, Thursday.
The guy who drives the taxi at the end is the guy from 30 Rock.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
He has other, like, the male head writer. It's funny.
That's great. Yeah. But that's the exact plot. That's a detailed description of the plot.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like you watched the movie?
Right? People that have watched the movie before, it's like, yeah, we watched the movie.
But I do sometimes wonder, like, if this is the way to do this show. But I think it is because if I had, like, made this movie, I would want people to notice those, like, things.
Yeah, I think that sort of sparks, because if you watch something and then you talk about it or listen to people talk about it, it sort of, my hope with this is that people will have a different thought process in rewatching it, or maybe pick up something they didn't, or have a completely different view on, well, I don't think the intention of that scene was this. I think it was this. And so we sort of share our opinions, and hopefully people agree or maybe disagree, and we'll share theirs and be like, you guys are wrong, or I have a different view.
Josie is such a snowflake.
No.
So, well, I mean, what are your thoughts on Victor? I kind of have just been like, just really loving Victor as a character.
I think he's so easy to get behind.
There are some scenes that are so, like, visually impactful that, I mean, one of the earliest scenes in the movie when he's been in the office, kind of been spoken to in another language about what's going on in his country. He doesn't get it. He's, like, totally oblivious to it. But he can see when he gets out on the TVs that there's a crisis in, can't remember the name of the place.
Oh, in Krakosia. Why can't I say the name?
Keep wanting to say Kazakhstan.
They say it so many times, and I can't.
And it keeps showing up on the TVs in, like, little spurts where it will be on one TV and then it will switch to another TV, like weird airport shit. And he's running around trying to make sense of the very little English that he knows. It was just such a, like, I felt my heart just, like. Like I said, just like folding up. Like, I really loved that. And it's such good. Oh my God. He's just so freaking good. Tom Hanks.
It's strange because I was looking into like what the reception of the movie was when it came out. And it has a really mixed to negative.
Really?
But yeah. People sort of think it's Spielberg's taking, like, his worst tendencies of nostalgia and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But to me, and I sort of went into it expecting that. I was like, probably not going to hold up like it used to if I saw it. But then I was kind of blown away because it is just so breathe. I mean, it is a crowd pleaser and, like, a very easy message to get behind.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I think it's everyone's performing at a great level and, like, makes it work. Like, I think it is a little, I don't know. It's not, it's sometimes surface level, but I think it's a little deeper than it lets on.
Oh, I totally think so. And I think it is more timely now than it should, has any business being.
Yeah. We're 15 years out from its release. It's the 15th anniversary, isn't it? Congratulations. Happy 15th anniversary, Terminal.
Wait, so what is the criticism people have of Spielberg? That he's too nostalgic?
He's very nostalgic, and
I would argue Tom is a little bit as well.
But I don't know. Sometimes you watch these things with that. I want that sometimes.
Yeah,
I understand that being a criticism, but also, especially in this situation, this is a this plot in different directors' hands would always look really different because it is sort of this contrived and kind of like quintessential Oscar type of thing.
Okay.
But I think it sort of, I don't know, works beyond that. I don't think so.
It doesn't look like it was nominated for any awards.
No, which I mean, we've talked about it, but I think Tom Hanks is really good. It's in that weird thing where someone's playing a person with a very distinct accent. Mm-hmm. I think the first few minutes it did throw me for a loop.
Yeah.
But then I got really used to it. Because they smartly, Victor is a rather quiet character. Like uh-huh. He talks, but he doesn't have a lot. I think most of the other characters do more of the talking than he does, at least in my look back.
It's much more in his face and in his physical movement.
There's some great Tom Hanks runs.
Oh, yeah.
No screams that I noticed.
No Tom yells.
No Tom yells.
I'm going to just say it. I think this was a better show of acting than we've seen in a lot of more recent movies that we've watched, like in our timeline.
Yeah.
I think The Terminal is better than Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Sorry to say it. I just like it better. And then what was the other one that we just watched that I liked better than Forrest Gump? Catch Me If You Can. Oh, I kind of think I like this one better than that.
Okay.
This is like all Tom. Like this is a Tom showcase and it is I love this movie. Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm jumping to the end of where we talk about what we think.
Oh, and Lady Killers was our last one.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that movie. He didn't. Yeah, I forgot we watched that.
But fun. Another Tom accent movie.
Great movie. Oh, but this. So, yeah. It was a little much in Lady Killers. Did I say that on the show? I don't know if I did. Compared to the accent in this?
Yeah.
I, like, totally buy this.
Yeah, this one worked.
It doesn't feel like an affect.
I don't know why. And I can't tell if at this point I'm just, like, all in on Tom and can't criticize. But this accent worked. And I don't. It worked.
No,
for me,
I think
for
you'll
some
be
reason.
Able to criticize him.
Yeah.
If it's necessary.
Yeah.
Is there something to criticize, do you think? I mean, the fact that it is also convoluted and contrived is a little like, okay.
No, I think it's definitely like, it knows what it's doing to play with you, and that's, you know, a storytelling device. But it is, I think, mostly surface level. Like some of the romance subplot I could...
Totally do without.
Do without.
Totally.
But it's pretty minor for the most part. And there's sort of a third act of this, if you're trying to break it down from like a script perspective.
Yeah.
The third act is like doesn't really know what to do, which is why it kind of makes Stanley Tucci this like cartoony villain.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also has like a tone that follows through the whole time, like the whole movie feels. You know, it's a feel-good little piece of... I've said slight before, but I think it tries to be more than slight. And,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's just rewatching it this year with where we are that it worked more. I remember liking it when I saw it, so I don't have a change of opinion from what I remember, but I was surprised to see the negative reviews.
Yeah, me too.
Some of the reviews say, like, Victor is too pure, we realize, to entertain the ghost of a dirty thought. The concept was there, the production abilities were there, it's the execution that fell apart. Probably the worst directed film Spielberg has ever made.
What?!
According to Salon.com.
Interesting. Not like I would know.
Spielberg turns the sublime into the is it banal?
Yeah.
At times taking it to the verge of ridiculous.
Oh, whatever.
A great filmmaker doing minor work. Terminal's conclusion was as awkward and aloof as O'Hare's airport in December. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, these are all, like, I do get it.
Yeah, this one doesn't like his accent.
Oh, whatever.
A featherweight farce.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So, did you notice anything specifically from a directing perspective? I can't say that I watch movies with that perspective.
No, it's cool. I mean, I think from like the beginnings, I think the location's really cool. I read that they built an entire terminal to pull that off. Because at first I was like, I don't remember JFK looking like this,
uh-huh.
Inherently. And I keep using that word. That's my word of this podcast, I guess. I just has all of those touches, those like the Spielberg push in, like really long takes that you don't realize are happening. And sort of this just optimism about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't find myself picking it apart technically, because it is, I mean, he's very good at what he does. And
mm-hmm.
it's strange to see like Spielberg working with Tom Hanks, both people who you just expect good from.
Yeah.
Whether or not you love the product, like, you know, there's like a certain quality to it that you're going to get regardless. Yeah.
Interesting. I can't say, I still stand by what I say.
Yeah.
Best Tom Hanks. I like it. I like it better than Lady Killers.
I do too. I looked at stuff before just to see like reviews and kind of went in like, oh, maybe this is a bad one that I don't remember. Then I was like, no. Nah.
Compared to some again. Of the trash we've seen.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you, Bachelor Party. I haven't shit on Bachelor Party in a while.
It's important that we do that every episode.
It is important. Well, is that it?
I think so. Feel good? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Fun movie.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had some big Hanks happenings, huh?
A major Hanks happenings today.
Breaking
news. Well, yesterday when this releases.
What is it? You sent me a text this morning.
A full Toy Story 4 trailer.
It was so good.
I don't need Toy Story 4. I kept being like, why would they do this? And then I see everything about it and I'm like, I do want it.
Yeah.
I do need it.
Yeah. I'm interested. That fork guy, Sporky.
Yeah.
Love that. Interested. So to see how they make that merchandise.
Yeah. I hope this is a commitment to a toy movie about our Pixar, a quote unquote children's movie, which is not fair. It's beyond that. But a movie about identity and friendship. It seems to be really about identity because it's about Bo Peep and it's about Forky and them figuring out who they are. And
their purpose. Yeah, yeah.
Which is pretty nuts.
Totally.
There's also a scene in the trailer with dolls in like an antique store that's genuinely horrifying.
Yeah.
So what? Pumped for that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was some good. That was nice to wake up to.
Yeah. I'm going to go watch it again.
Okay. Well, I'll put it on the website.
Yeah. If anyone listening to this hasn't seen that, like, stop. I guess this is the end of the podcast.
Yeah, you made it to the end.
Come on. Go watch it.
And then what's our next movie?
Oh, every time.
No, you know what it is.
Oh, do I do? Oh, no.
It's time.
I do know what it is. Is it actually time?
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe if I look and I look really slowly, it won't be that.
You have to say the name 3 times. For it to be real.
Okay, I'm going to really slowly click to it. Since I don't know how to get to it, there's performances. Oh, because we already did Polar Express.
Uh-huh.
You're right. Our next movie is the 2006 masterpiece, The Da Vinci Code. We have to watch that together.
Okay. Totally, sure.
I'm not going to watch it alone.
Right now?
Right now.
Great. I've been waiting for this episode. I'm sure you have too.
We usually try not to spoil how we feel, but it's hard for me.
No, this will be a good episode, I feel.
Because the problem is we do Da Vinci Code, then we do Charlie Wilson's War.
I've never seen that.
Which is cool. It's an Aaron Sorkin script. We did like Social Network.
Oh, yeah, we love.
It's kind of cool.
We.
And then taking away cameos and the next movie. Oh my gosh.
Is it the second?
So it's Da Vinci Code, then Charlie Wilson's War, and then Angels and Demons.
Yes.
Which I never made it through.
Oh, me either.
And then Toy Story 3.
Oh, a
dope. And then okay. Larry Crown. And then Incredibly Loud and Incredibly Close. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Cloud Atlas.
Oh, wow, we're getting catching up to gems.
Yeah. Could we have some time? For some reason, I thought it was Da Vinci, Angels and Demons, and then Inferno, like almost back to back. But he, in the early 2010s, he did a bunch of stuff. So
hell yeah.
Cool.
Well, I guess that sums it up for our episode.
I think so.
Gives everybody something to look forward to.
It does.
If you're interested in continuing the conversation, you've got thoughts on the terminal, you agree with us, you agree with the critics, you know, whatever.
You know.
Hit us up. We have a website, talkintom.com. That's talking without the G. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Pot Hanks Tomcast.
That's it. That's easy to find us.
It's everything.
My name's Josie.
I'm Daniel.
Hey, thanks for listening.